Today's daf in the Sechet Shvi'it from the Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Nun Zayin. And we got right up to the last three words on the daf. So remember the last thing that we had learned in the Braita is that there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, whether there's a difference between a person who is an active trapper, meaning he makes his living by trapping animals. And so it says over there that if he was trying to trap something that was kosher, and instead he accidentally finds something that's not kosher in his trap, he's allowed to sell it. Mashma, that would only be true of someone who's a tzayat. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what's the difference? Even if it's a person who's not in business, and he happens to be walking along the street, and he finds a nice, delicious boar that he would be able to shoot and sell for a nice profit, so then if it came his way, he can do that. Indeed, says the Gemara, why not? I mean, that's what Rebbe Yehuda is saying. It shouldn't matter whether you're in business for it or not. I mean, understand, you know, the similarity on the surface to the dinim of Shemitah, whether you have another business, whether it looks like you're in business. It's very cute that it continues on with that sugya, but I mean, there's no substantive relationship between the two. So what difference does it make whether you're in business or not? Rebbe Yossi b'Rebbe Bon, it's very simple. You know how the tax authorities are going to determine how many fares your taxi cab had. They'll come along and they'll say, well, according to your odometer, you traveled X number of kilometers, and we estimate that you get X number of fares per 100 kilometers. But I didn't! I wasted all that money. I was driving around, couldn't find a fare for nothing. We pay no attention to your protestations, you fool. We decide how many fares you had. Well, unfortunately, that's the reality. The same thing was true in those days about the government who determined how many taxes you owe as a trapper. Okay, you're a trapper that has five traps that are registered, and these are the number of animals that those traps bring. But I couldn't use those animals. 30% of them weren't kosher. We Jews don't. Please, don't give me that stuff. This is the tax office. And we're going to charge you for the number of animals that we estimate were trapped. That's all that we care about. And therefore, the Rabbanan were makil in these cases. We found that they were makil in cases about Shvias. Remember that they were Matir Mamish doing actual work during Shemitah because of the fact that the government was going to completely oppress, even to the point perhaps of Sakonos Nefashes. That was the Machlokes we had earlier. So here true, Taman Eina Malchut Oneset. When it comes to somebody who just has opportunistic ability to kill a boar and sell it, he's not going to get into trouble with the tax authorities. But the guy who's a trapper, if he's not going to be allowed to sell, then he's going to be paying heavy taxes on things that he wasn't able to use. He's going to be driven out of business. So Bram Hocha Malchut Oneset, so the government is going to force you to pay taxes. And because of that, the Rabbanim were makil even on those things that are Asur Bachila. Okay, this brings us now to Halacha Beis in the seventh perek.
So, Rabbi wanted to discuss the Halacha Salum yesterday. That was the way.
I did, but I want to first make sure that we don't fall further behind. So, I decided it's kedai for us to make sure that at least we get the Mishnah clear. Okay, so we've been having all of the Mishnayos we had before about the various type of things that we're going to be able to use, what things are considered to be Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvias, and what things are Chayav and Bior, and what things maybe have one but don't have the other. So we got up to the Mishnah of Lulevei Zradim L'Charuvim. So we have an interesting situation over here, because there's cases, as we saw before, where there's a difference between the Lulav and between the alim. And that's very simply because the alim fall off, and therefore there's a chiyuv of biur, and the lulavim, which are the shoots that are growing out and are going to become part of the tree, when they harden, but originally on some species, they're still good for salad because they're nice and soft. So the lulaves radim vacharuvim. So, look, I don't know exactly what, again, the zered is. It's used all over in Shas. I've seen pictures of it. It doesn't mean anything to me. So, I mean, they call it the service tree. Does that help you? Doesn't help me. And the charuv, we know. Okay, so you have fresh shoots that are growing out of a charuv. So the din is that is chayev in shvius because people use that and they put it into salad after they maybe soften it a little bit in vinegar or whatever. But that's considered to be a human food, and because of that, it has kedusha shvius. And of course, because of that, if you were machlif it for something else, so then it has also the domim has kedusha shvius. What's more, since the lulavim end up falling off afterwards, if they're not used, so then we'll see why we have to say that crazy pshat. But that's the way that it seems to work out, is the way the Rambam understands it in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. So since in the end they don't last through the rainy season, because of that they have biur, yeshlem biur, or the demayim biur. Now, on the other hand, the lulavim of the Elah, and the Botna, and the Atadim. Okay, again, the Elah is a famous tree, which Barnea can point out. He always goes to visit the Elah, Shebeshchem, the very Elah that they buried all of the Avodah Zarah under, the very Elah, as any tourist guide will tell you, that they ended up finding the Yonah that they worshipped on Har Gerizim. And if you could take a picture next time you're at that very Elah, Elat Yaakov Avinu, we'd be happy to see what the Elah looks like precisely. But anyway.
It's hard to pigeonhole that
terabit. Okay. So anyway, that would be the Elah tree, or the Botnaz, usually translated as pistachio tree. The Atadim, we know, that's certain types of thorn bushes. So these things do have shvius, the mayim have shvius, but there's no biur, because those things do not fall off of the tree. So ein lehem biur, velo ledemayim biur, but la'alim, the leaves that you can eat in salad, those definitely don't last through the winter. And therefore, even though the main tree, the main plant, does not have a din of biur, but the alim yesh lehem biur, mipnei shehem noshrim mi'aviyem, the leaves fall off of the tree. And so because of that, they are, we saw this before a number of times, that we can have certain type of species where part of the species has biur and part doesn't have. So over here, since these are considered to be salad leaves, therefore they have biur. How about the things that are utilized for smell? Now, something that is not a food, but still has smell, is considered to be Kadosh B'Kedusha Shrias, the same way that we have things that are being used by people for the dying. That's considered to be an Iker Lachem, and therefore it appears that there's a full din of usability by Adam. So the same thing is true about these things that can provide a smell, or some of them could even be Tavlin, as we saw before, a rose, the veret, the kofar. The kofar is translated as the chinna, which I'm assuming means henna, which is the way that, we still use it. So avered, kofer, haketaf, remember that the ketaf was part of the besamim of the ketores, and that is considered to be a resin, and the lotet, which I have no idea what that is, yesh lehem shvi'it, ulid mehem shvi'it. So in all of these cases, even though they are just used for smell, the truth is, we saw last week, or 2 weeks ago, we saw last week it was a suffix if they're only usable for smell. Whether they're considered to be for smell alone is considered to be kosher. But these things were also used for not only the smell, but for the flavorings. Is Rabbi Shimon on there? No. Ketaf is a resin. How is a resin a fruit? So, in the ketaf shvi'it, We don't consider a part of the tree, which is the resin of the pri, of the tree, to be its pri. Okay, that we saw as a machlokas before, that the Rabbanan hold that since this is what it is that you eat of the tree, it has the kedusha shriyas, because the Adam uses it, and therefore the ketaf is considered to be the equivalent of the pri of the atzei haketaf. Now, what happens if you mix two things? What happens if you have something that doesn't have kedusha shriyas, and you soak it in it, you soak it with something that does have kedusha shriyas? Let's imagine a case where you have a fresh rose that is now shviyas, and you put it into a bowl of oil from the previous year. So you have a veret chadash, shekvasho b'shemen yashan. You put this into an earlier six-year olive oil. What happens? Well, you lakate the veret, you can take out the veret and eat it before the Zman HaBiur, and then the taste of the vered in the oil is not going to be usur. Even though normally we pass in tam ke'ikr, and if something was kavush, and kavush is once you let it stay for 24 hours, it has a din of kavush, and therefore it should be usur, because after all, usur in the sense that it gets kedusha shviyas, if there would be a nice in tam, and there would still be kedusha shviyas, it would seem to be. But the truth is that in this particular case, old oil will not absorb the taste of a veret chadash. So when you take it out, you no longer have a nosin tam. But if the other way around, suppose you have a rose, and that rose is from the shana shishit, and you put it into this fresh oil that is kodesh, then it would be chayev in biur. So you would have to eat the rose before the zman of the biur. Okay, that's the pashas of the sugya. We're going to see later on that the Gemara understands this differently. But the pashas, if you're just learning the Mishnah, it's saying the difference between absorption, between new oil and old oil. Charuvim chadashim, shikvashan b'yayin yashan. How about if you put in some carob into that had kedusha shviyas, and you put it into wine? And the wine was from prior to shviyas, or vice versa. You have a charuv from the sixth year, and you soak that in yayin that is from this year. In either case, it would be chayiv, because it doesn't matter which way it is. If the shviyas stuff was soaked in the wine from the sixth year, or the sixth year charuvim are soaked in the shviyas wine, it's mashma that either way, the flavor goes from one to the other, and b'meila, you would be chayiv in biur. Again, we're going to see later on that the Gemara is not 100% convinced that that's the pshat in the sugya. So, basically, the klal is like this. Zeklal. Koshu benotein ta'am. Wherever you have something that was chayiv in biur, that gave its taste into something that was potter, then you would be chayiv levayer. That's in the event that it was a min b'she'eno mino. Because if it's one type of taste and another type of taste, then it's discernible, and that taste that it gave to it answers it. Because now I can actually taste the tam of iser in it. So there, it depends on shishim, basically, which is the normal din in which we call min b'she'eno mino. But min b'mino, over there, it would be usher b'koshu. So let's say one tiny bit of wine falls into a whole barrel of wine, and it's min b'mino. So then min b'mino is not bottle. Okay, this, of course, we know is machlokes, and this is not the way that we paskin. We paskin that even min b'mino is echad b'shishim is usher. But, interestingly enough, when it comes to Shemitah, we're going to see later on that when it comes to Shemitah, this is actually true halacha, and we're machmer on the min b'mino legabe the dinim of biur. Shviyat oseret koshu b'mino. It seems to be just a repetition. Shviyas will aser min b'mino, even kosher, which is what you just said. Mishalo b'mina b'nosin tam, which is also what you just said. So there, the question is, what's the point of this repetition? I mean, we said that there's a special halacha, the gabi shvius, that we would paskin this. Maybe that's why it repeats it. Or, the way others learn, the reason is that we need to understand that until now we were talking about the dinim of biur. But here the Mishnah is coming to tell me that this halacha of nesin tam, or min b'minai, is true across the board. And it means even legabe the din of kedusha shvius, such as the Yisr Schaira, or kedusha shvius, such as using it for something that is not the best possible usage, which is considered to be an Yisr of la'achla, because the lechem has to be the equivalent of the la'achla. So, okay, so that would be the reason that we would have to say it again, because the Mishnah before wasn't talking about kedusha shvius. Possible. Again, this is questions among the achronim. Okay, so going back to the opening of the Mishnah, it seems to be a complete turning your back on everything that we learned before. So we're saying over here that we have all of these things that are not chayav in biur. So we talked about Barnei Azelah, and we talked about the Butna, and we talked about the Kotzim, and so on. But what happens to those lulavim, tell me? What happens is that they turn into branches, right? When they turn into branches, it's true that they're there, but they're certainly not available for the Chayav Basadeh to eat. The Chayav Basadeh can't eat wood. So we're saying over here that these things are put from biur. Why? Because they stay there, don't they? They don't fall off like the lulavim that we were saying before. It said beferish in the Mishnah. Why are the ones that are chayav and biur? They're chayav because they are noiflim me'aviyam. That's what we said is the reason for the leaves, okay? So these things that are not loiflim me'aviyam are considered to be available to the chayav. Now, that is very inconsistent, because if you go back to the beginning of this parak, you will see how untrue that is. Bereshit the pirka, what did you say in the very beginning of this parak? You were talking over there, if you remember, that was our whole opening about the ale luf hashote, right? These were wild, wild luf, and we said over there that the leaves of the wild luf are chayav in biur, and once the ones that are there out in the sada are no longer edible, then you have to get rid of the ones that you have. Now, the fact is that they don't fall off, but they're not edible. So that means that you included in the din of biur, not the question of whether are they physically present, but are they edible in the state in which they're physically present, okay? And here you say, well, it doesn't matter. Since they're attached to the tree, I mean, basically, they're still there. So you're saying, oh, hatamar. So when it came to our cases of the Elah, you said that even that they're completely inedible, you still, anything that you have in the house, you're able to continue to feed to your behemoth. How do you explain the difference between the Alelu Fashota, which even though it's still there on the tree, but it's all withered and not edible, and why is that considered to be Mechayev and Biur, and why is it that these hardened parts of the Elah, or the pistachio, and so on, why is that any different? Omer Rebbe Pinchas, there's a big difference. Because in the case of aluf hashota, it's not going to become part of the tree, ever. Those leaves never turn into tree, do they? So in that case, it always is completely different from the tree. So the fact that it's on the tree doesn't mean that it's still there. I don't see it as being part of the tree. I see it previously being an edible leaf and now being an inedible leaf. But in the cases that we're talking about of the Elah, the Botna, and the thorns, I mean, over there, Hacha, it actually becomes part of the tree itself. And Mikivan Sheikshu Na'asuka Avihem. So that means they become bottle to the actual tree itself. Is the tree chayav in biur? In any other parts of it? No. So therefore, they also are not going to be chayav impure. It's a completely different situation. Okay, to be continued, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, with hopefully some new Giluyim of Chasadim Aleinu, in which Rashiya Samecha, Vorechas Nachlasecha, or Aim the Nasim Ad Olam, becomes our lot. Bezrat Hashem.